morning and welcome to Monday Morning Breakthrough. Over the last couple of weeks on Solo Smarts, I have been covering issues having to do with breakthrough. Have you been listening to the podcast? If you go to solosmarts.com and you click on Solopreneur Podcast, it's going to show you all of the recent episodes in reverse chronological order. This week, episode number 40 is all about taking stock of 2012 before it's over. Last week, I was talking about your comfort zone, what keeps you in your comfort zone, what nudges you out of your comfort zone. Good morning, Lynette Chandler. What a joy it is to see you. So I know that you loved episode number 39 because you guys told me so. And I'm hoping you'll love episode number 40 just as much because it was another real firecracker episode. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. You know, those of you who come here to Monday Morning Breakthrough, you wouldn't be here if you weren't extremely interested in exiting the comfort zone and moving forward. So please don't think that I'm trying to talk to anybody here, but there are so many people who are downright comfy in their comfort zone. They look around, they see soft comfort everywhere they gaze, and they see no reason to do anything differently. And one of the statements I made in this week's episode is that I guess I didn't type it in. I guess I just said it. Not being a finisher. I talked this week about being a finisher. What does it mean to be a finisher? Many people are stuck in the role of being a chronic starter. They've started a lot of things. They haven't finished a lot of things. If you look at their computer hard drive, they have multiple projects begun. Ebooks started, small reports started, video courses started, very little finished. And I got to tell you, I don't really understand how do so many things get started when nothing is finished yet? Can anybody help me understand that? Because now I'm a multitasker. How many people here are a multitaskers as well? You've got more than one thing going on at a time. I am a multitasker, and it's not a problem for me. I have the kind of brain and the kind of organization that can manage, you know, X amount of open projects at a time. But something has top priority because something has the nearest deadline. So I may have, let me just look real quick at my open project notes. My open project notes are kind of a brainstorming section in my Evernote. I'm just checking it really quick. The thing in my open project notes that has the nearest deadline at this moment in time is the Stretch Yourself Challenge. I have a few things open. I'm getting ready. I'm revamping the Power of a Focused Business to launch right before the end of the year, a totally updated, revamped course. But the Stretch Yourself Challenge is coming up. The first session is December 4th. So that's the nearest deadline. So it has the highest priority right at this moment. I'm plotting and planning. I wish I could put my paper notebook on the screen because I've got my to-do list for the Power of a Focused Business. I worked on that a lot on Friday while I was doing open phones. In between phone calls, I was working and plotting and brainstorming. So I have this to-do list here. But this has my nearest priority. And what else do I have open? I have some things. I have some things I have to do for Solo Mastermind, some resources that need to be delivered yet before the end of the year. But this is still my most forefront priority. So I may have more than one thing going, but something is nearing deadline. Something is getting the majority of my time and attention so that it can be finished. And that's one of the things that I mentioned in this week's podcast. I shared a few specific things about finishers. Let me zoom in on the list. Can you guys read that now? Finishers start a project with an end in mind. Finishers set and meet deadlines. And I think that nails it. Why are some people chronic starters? Why do they have so many projects begun and nothing finished? And it's probably because they didn't set a deadline for one of those projects. They didn't prioritize one project and make it the most important thing. So let me ask you, what open projects do you have right now? You don't have to tell us specifically. You can say, ebook A, special report B, audio C. You don't have to be specific about it, but how many open projects do you have right now? And which one needs to have a deadline if it doesn't already? If you're already really good at setting your own deadlines and then holding yourself accountable to the finish, tell me. Say, I am a finisher. I am. It's in my DNA. I'm a natural finisher. I do not have a problem with this. And if you're the reverse, if you're like, oh no, I'm not there yet. I haven't finished anything yet. You can tell us. Marianne has a Kindle book halfway done, needs to be done by March. Marianne, that sounds like a long period of time to work on a book. Is this a really long book? And if so, should it be? Oh my goodness, who? Shawn Hansen. She's not here. Shawn Hansen. Do you know who she is, guys? She's indiebookmarketer.com. She called me on Friday during my open phones. And one of the things that she said is that Kindle books are, people who are looking to publish a book on Kindle, they must not look at it like the hard copy publishing world. You must not think that you need, 300, 500 pages of content before you can publish that Kindle book. So, is your book too long, Marianne? Or does it just need so much great detail that you must give it that much time? Adina has three books, one video. She says, sometimes I'm a finisher, sometimes I'm not. But if it's on my task list, I usually finish it. Yes. Amen. That's one of the items on our list. Finishers work from a task list. Lynette, two apps, two plugins, one advertise. I must complete one app by December 1st or be kicked out of a group. Are you in an accountability group, Lynette? Lynette says, I'm not naturally a finisher, but I've gotten better over time. It's something that can be learned for sure, but still need accountability. So having partners always help. Lynette, do you want to talk? I'll enable your audio. Tracy says, e-course all done, but the sales page.
Hey everybody, I hope my audio is on for you.
I hear you.
Do you hear me? Okay, great. Hey, when you ask me if it's accountable, it's sort of like an accountability group. It's more of a group where we promote each other's apps and we share resources. It's more of a mastermind group, really. But the one of the qualifications that you must have is you must have an app by the end of the year. Now, you know, Kelly, that I have been working on an app for over half a year, actually. Well, actually, not. It's right at half a year. And I got really good in the beginning, but everything else, I got another project with another partner, and that kind of took precedence for a while, so now I'm scrambling. But on the other hand, I work really well in situations like this where. Sure, don't get me wrong, I am pressured. I do feel the pressure and all that, but I work much better in such situations. And I find that often if I try to put myself in situations where I have to, and it may not always necessarily be an accountability group, it can be like working with a partner, working with you, and which is why I like to have projects that I'm not the only person, because if I'm only person in there, then I have trouble finishing. I do finish it, but I take much longer than I would like to. So that's
So,
how I put, I get myself to get things done.
if you're not a natural finisher, accountability, having a partner or a group of people who are monitoring your process is really advantageous.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Tracy says she definitely works better in a team type situation. I get that. I totally get that. And I really believe, especially if you've tested yourself in both ways, that if you find that you really just work better when you have a partner or a team, then just pursue that. The only concern in the grand scheme of things, if you're building what I call a big tree business, you must have some parts of the tree that are yours alone. You just must. You cannot have every single piece of the pie as a partnership because your piece of the pie gets smaller. Even though the pie gets bigger, and that's a good thing, but like let's just say for example, one of the slices of my pie is a hosting company. I own MomWebs together with Nicole Dean. And so we receive profits and pay our affiliates, and then we split money. And because it's a partnership, there's always the split there. And I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. But if every piece of my pie involved a split, then I have lots of money coming in and lots of money going out. And I personally, for my own bookkeeping sense, I need some pieces of the pie to be mine and mine alone, and some pieces of the pie to be partnerships. But how can you put yourself in more situations that you feel really comfortable in so that 2013 can be better than 2012?
Kelly, I just want to jump in and say a little bit more about that. Since I also saw where Adina had said I work better alone. You know what? Don't get me wrong. I am a lone wolf. By nature, I'm an introvert. I don't work very well in large teams. That definitely is true. However, like Kelly, I believe that not everything should be in a partnership, although I do have a lot of instances where I work with partners. But think about things like I've also found that recently things if when you hire somebody, when you outsource somebody to do something for you and we actually talked about this a couple of Monday morning breakthroughs back. We talked about how wasteful it is if we outsource something and we don't have a plan for for it, then we're wasting money. But we, if you think about it in terms of, okay, you're outsourcing something, you're spending money, and that becomes like a fire under you to say, okay, now you've spent this money, you better do something. You know, so that's kind of like my motivation also to finish stuff, you know. I paid this money. I paid somebody hard-earned money. I'd better finish this thing or, you know, I've lost it. I worked so hard and I lost it all. It's a shame. That's one way. Another way, you know, I put myself in that kind of situation. And also, I just want to also say that, you know, where Marianne has said, you know, you put too, so much stress on yourself. It's true. I don't do this for every single thing. Also, don't get me wrong there. If I did, I'll be burned out really quickly. However, there are some things, a lot of times, what happens is that I have this project, like I mentioned earlier, this app I've been working on, it's 6 months. You know, truthfully, it should have been out in 3 months, but I've taken this long, you know. So I've come to a point where, you know, I have to kick myself in the butt, and so I push myself into this high-stress situation. Otherwise, it would take another 6 months, and by that time, it will be 1 year. And, you know, when you take so long to do something, you will never complete it, never, ever. And because I know myself well, if it takes after such a long period of time, that thing is gone, completely gone. So, you know, it's either I put myself in this situation and do it now, or it will never be done ever, and I might as well just kiss goodbye to whatever dreams I have for the app.
There's a big risk in letting a project stew for too long. You know, I've experienced, Lynette, you've experienced it. You know, in the process of working and trying to get something just right, someone else does it. And then you feel like, aw, no one's going to care about mine anymore. So let's talk about your comfort zone, and let's talk about your goals and dreams for 2013. Okay. What about 2012 are you really proud of? If you've listened to Solo Smarts already today, you know I kind of went through this process where first, I took a look at what I kind of counted my blessings, what's been great about 2012. And then I gave myself a kind critique. On Friday during open phones, I invited everybody, all my customers and everyone on my list and everyone in social media, I invited them to call me and tell me how they think I'm doing. What I really wanted, see my picture, call me, critique me, get 50% off anything. What I really wanted was for people to call me and be me to me. I wanted them to call me and tell me the hard things that I don't want to face, you know. It's interesting that I invite critique hoping for negatives. And of course, I got positives. I did get a couple of negatives, you know, a couple of gentle, loving negatives. But for the most part, I got all positives. I did it to invite critique, but instead I got lots of love. And that's awesome. Do you know what I learned on Friday? More than anything else, I learned that I have some of the most amazing people in my circle, people who are warm and generous and giving and loving and very, very devoted. And I'm thinking about, do you know, how many of you read Seth Godin's book, Tribes? If you Here's the book, Tribes. The subtitle is We Need You to Lead Us. It's so interesting because the week before last, I got an, I believe, an epiphany about my business, about what I'm going to do in 2013. And one of the things that really, that this thought that just jumped into my head was that I need to assume that I am the source. And I believe that if you'll take it, it's an epiphany for you today. Assume that you are the source. How many of you held back from sharing something this year because you assumed someone else is the source? How many of you assume I am the source? This is my epiphany. You did you hold back from sharing something? Did you hold back from recommending something because you assumed they've already heard about it from someone else? And I know this is fact for some of us, you know, we know other people have mentioned it. But why should that hold you back? So this was my epiphany moment, and I wrote it down. I'm going to 2013, I'm very much going to focus on email marketing. No, digital marketing, email, apps, disseminating information, giving my subscribers information, and in doing so, assuming I am the source. I'm the first person they're going to hear it from. I'm the first person that they trust that they will hear it from. And this week's Friday's open phones was like taking a big old powerful rubber stamp and bam, stamping justified, confirmed, authentic on that epiphany as person after person said, I follow you because I trust you. I follow you because you're honest. I follow you because you tell it like it is. I follow you because you will not blow flowers up my butt. No matter what. I follow you because if you wouldn't recommend it to your sister, you wouldn't recommend it to me, and you love your sister. You know, my people, and I'm, and this isn't just a head trip for Kelly because it wasn't just that they said that about me. They said, I heard about you from Nicole. And I trust Nicole with my life. I heard about you from Connie, and I trust Connie. I heard from you. I heard about you from David, and I trust David. Trust equals being the source. Because they trust me, they trust the people that referred them to me. There's so much trust. I am the source. So going into 213, I am assuming I am the source. So I'm done holding back. Not that I like hold back opinions, but I'm done saying, oh, well, that's cool, but I'm sure they've already heard about it. Done with that. That attitude, do you know where that attitude is? That attitude is over here. Bam. That, whoops. That attitude is here in the comfort zone. Oh, well, I'm sure Connie already told him about that. Or I'm on Connie's mailing list, so I know she already mailed about that. So I won't, you know, that's a comfort zone attitude. That's not the attitude of the source, you know? Back over here on Solo Masterminds. I wrote earlier this year about affiliate marketing. I said, don't psych yourself out of affiliate marketing. Here's the link. There was a big special. David was offering a big special at my NAMS on memberships, and I was not going to promote it because I thought, well, everybody's already promoting it. And so I would just be like this big echo, echo, echo. And then I decided, what the heck? You know, what a bad attitude. I'm psyching myself out. So I went ahead and did a promotion. Now, there is a certain level of market saturation in our circle. You know, just in this room, I see other people who go to NAMS. And we all are telling one another about things that are happening, and we're all promoting the membership. There is a certain level of overlap and saturation. I know I won the NAMS affiliate contest back in February, and I could have won it from by a much greater margin, except a lot of people on my list were already cookied to another affiliate at my NAMS. So there is overlap, there is saturation, but you cannot let that psych you out. That attitude, that kind of psych yourself out attitude is here in your comfort zone. So I decided to go ahead and do the promotion. I just did it. I just did the promotion. And this is a lesson I've learned over and over and over again, but I'm so glad that I didn't hold back on that one because I made money. I made $200 by promoting that. And I have continued to make money from that promotion because people acted since then to take advantage on something, and then I earn affiliate income later. So what can you do to assume that you are the source? And let me ask this. Do not tell me names. Give them a pseudonym. Say awesome expert, Penelope. Who do you, even though you love them and respect them and admire them, who are you being psyched out by right now? Who are you being psyched out by? Why are you holding back? Why are you not assuming that you're the source? Because awesome expert Penelope is the one who tells them about these things. We all have them. And my awesome expert Penelope has definitely changed over the years. Way back when, my first website, first time I was really trying to be a source to somebody, my awesome expert Penelope was probably Cheryl Demas, the gal who ran wham.com. I thought I could never do anything as awesome as her, and then later on in my life, my awesome expert Penelope was probably my business partner, Alice. Oh, Alice is doing that. Alice is awesome with that, so I won't do that. And then later on down the road, my awesome expert Penelope, morphs into other people, other niches, other things. And it is not even always necessarily that they're like a big person with a bigger, better business than you. Sometimes this works laterally, like, this person who came up at the same time with me, oh, she's doing it, so I won't do it. When you psych yourself out, you're staying in your comfort zone. Because let's say now Lynette, I've known Lynette forever and a day, and she's my business partner at Solo Masterminds, and we brainstorm together, we mastermind together, love her dearly, and we have occasionally come very close to doing the same thing. I was teaching a WordPress course, she was teaching a WordPress course. For a season, it made sense for me to do that. If I, what if I, and I, let's say I'm looking back at when I was doing WordPress orientation, and I sold a lot of that class and I had a lot of people take that class. If I'd psyched myself out and thought, well, I'm not going to do that because Lynette does that, I would have really missed out on that opportunity. I didn't end up staying doing that, you know, but how many times have you looked and said, oh, my friend is doing that, so I'm not going to do that? I think we need a certain amount of respect and consideration for our friends to not intentionally trot on each other's toes, to not intentionally say, you know, copy an idea and run off, you know, with something that we heard in a mastermind group. There's definitely risk of that. But at the same time, we're all building our own funnel here. We're all building our own big tree business. And you won't be able to do that if you spend too much time looking at what everyone else is doing. Me for a moment. So my epiphany is assume I am the source. In 2013, I am assuming that I am the source. That means if I see something I think my people need to know, I'm going to tell them. If I see something I find interesting, I'm going to share it. If I try something and it works, I'm going to tell them. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to assume that I am the source. I'm going to put blinders on and I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to be Kelly and do my thing and power forward and build a bigger list and grow what do you call it when people download an app? I'm going to grow an app following. I'm going to do this. And I've made up my mind about it. I've definitely set my mind towards it. If you assume that you are the source, that your people, the people you reach, the people within your circle of reach today, whether that's mailing list, blog reader, podcast listener, social media friend, or follower, if you assume that you are their source, what are you going to do differently in 2013. You have something to say, Lynette?
Yes, I do. You just reminded me about something, Kelly. I remember years ago, Alice was telling us this story, where somebody had emailed her and said, "You know, Alice, I wasn't going to buy this product, but everybody was promoting it. It was one of those deals, where it was very popular product, and everybody and dear aunt and uncle were promoting it. But this customer wasn't gonna buy it. But then later Alice went and hit and emailed everybody about that, and she bought it from her, simply because she trusted her opinion and advice, not necessarily better than the others, but she just felt that, what was the word she used? She said, "Well, because you had mentioned it, and I take heed of what you say," then she bought it through her. So just a thought there, if you ever worried about somebody not buying because somebody else had reset, so.
Alice is such a good Alice is such a person to learn from, to learn attitude from. You know, I know we learned a lot of attitude from working with Lynette, or I'm sorry, working with Alice, Lynette, because you know, she's great at saying, so what? So what if somebody else mentioned it? So what if they're doing that? So what? You
I
know?
know. Yep.
And that, man, we need that.
Yes, I can tell you for sure. I learned a lot of that attitude from her. Well, now, when I say attitude, it's not bad attitude, just, the mindset of looking at things.
What are some things that you say that keep you from assuming that you're the source? And I want to put some of those in here. What are the mindsets that hold you back from just telling people about something you've heard of, something you think that would be helpful to them? Susan says, problem with being the source is that you can be full of good ideas, but if no one takes any notice, they're not worth much. Can you expand on that? What does that mean? If no one takes any notice, what are you doing to disseminate those great ideas? How have you shared them? I don't like my, I hate my arrows. I'm making terrible arrows today. Such a geek. What sort of things do you say to yourself that holds you back from assuming that you're the source? What keeps you in this comfort zone? Any other remarks about that? Nobody is paying attention anywhere. Anyways, not enough. I don't reach enough people. Let's put that one in here. I don't reach enough people to make it worth it. Anybody feel that way? What holds you back? What keeps you in your comfort zone? Being the source is very uncomfortable. You might think, if you're not the source today, you might think, oh, it must be awesome to be the source. Being the source is so cool, but it's not comfortable. Melissa says, I haven't been in business long enough to be the source. Melissa, how long have you been in business? Do you hold back from promoting things because you're afraid of recommending something incorrect? Tracy says, being responsible to make sure you provide the right, best information. Are you afraid that you're going to recommend something inappropriate? Or, oh, Adina says, I don't like to be viewed as pushy. That's interesting. Got a lot of reasons to stay in our comfort zone. If you're recommending something relevant and useful, and it solves the problem, then you're not being pushy. That's definitely a mindset that will hold you in your comfort zone. You know, here's a fact that you can make a list right now of all of the people that you consider a source right now. If I were going to name my sources right now, I would say, Nicole, Dean, Connie Reagan Green, David Perdue, Kathleen Gage, Paul Evans, Carrie Wilkerson. Who else am I paying attention to? Excuse me. Pat Flynn, Michael Hyatt, just to name a few. These are sources. These are people I listen to podcasts, I read blogs, I pay attention. I pay attention to them. They are phenomenal people. They're my source. You know, I'm drawing from them on a regular basis. And my peeps, the people on my list, my customers, they know who these people are as well, and they may be sources to them too. But a really, really large segment of people will only spend money with someone who they feel they can connect with right now. And a large number of people on my list, while they may learn from and enjoy what's available for free from Paul and Carrie and Connie and Nicole and everybody else, they decide to coach with me because they feel comfortable working with me right now. They may be tapping all these other sources, but I'm the one they want to personally engage with right now for whatever reason. You know, we like to work with someone who we perceive as being several steps ahead of us, but not so far ahead of us that they can't relate to where we are. Does that make sense? It's about getting to that next level. If you know, let's say you're here, there's these stairs, you're here, and you're learning from people who are 10 steps up the ladder. You're listening to their podcast, you're reading their blog. But man, there's this person here. They're like maybe four or five steps up the ladder from you. There, you feel like that person gets you because they've more recently been where you are. And it's interesting because, like, say, Connie, who got her start online in 2005, is blasting through the rafters, and I've been in business since 2002. That doesn't intimidate me one bit. We've had different trajectories and different priorities and purposes in different phases, and I get that. I'm comfortable. No, not comfortable. I understand where I'm at. I understand what step I'm on, and I understand where I'm going, and I understand why certain people really like to work with me. I understand why I am the source to who I am the source to right now. And that's my epiphany, is really believing that, accepting I'm the source for my circle, and I'm going to start acting like it. Lori, oh, they're definitely up the ladder for me. If the ladder indicates checkbooks, they're definitely up the ladder for me. Anything else that holds you, attitude that holds you from believing that you are the source for your people? All you can do, you know, if you have you, I had a guest on Solo Smarts. I've had him on twice now, Tom Ewer. He's been on Solo Smarts twice. I had him on the first time back in September 2011, and then I had him as a guest on Hot Seminar Series, and then I had him again just recently. This kid, this 25-year-old punk came out of nowhere, started a blog called Leaving Work Behind, and proceeded to say, I want to quit my job. I want to be online, and I'm going to do this. With no more attitude, with no more experience and pre-existing skills than anyone else, he just started doing it. And within a year, he quit his job and was 100% self-supporting. He publishes his income reports right here on the web for all to see. He made $4,486 in October. You can see he went from spending money to making money, consistent growth. Just since May 2011. This little pipsqueak, he's a young kid. You know, where did he come from, and why? What kind of attitude did he have? You know, somehow, some way, he realized he could be a source to the people who found him, and he just decided to be it. And here he is. He's just published his first ebook. He sold 99 copies in less than a month and made money. He's going places. He's gonna be an amazing leader. He already is because he already acts like it. He was acting like it back when his income was low. When I first interviewed him, he was in the less than $1,000 a month bracket. But he was sharing what he's doing, what's working, how's it going. He was being a source. And so he grew. He sucked in a following just by being him and being a source and sharing what's going on. How many of you would have the guts, the balls to share your income report like that? I don't even want to do that. I would have to stay up on my bookkeeping to be able to do that. Okay. So don't everybody go tell Tom I called him a pipsqueak. He's awesome. He's a very handsome young man. If you're not already part of the Stretch Yourself Challenge, man, come join us. The price is only $10 through the end of today, and then the price goes up to its regular $47. You don't want to have to pay more than you need to. Questions, comments? Does anybody feel discouraged by this whole thing? Like, I just don't think I have what it takes. I just don't know if I can do this. Kelly, she's just got so much guts. I don't have guts. Doggone it. Other people say it better. Other people write it better. Other people have better examples. Other people. If you spend your whole day thinking about other people, you are never going to become the source. You're guts. That's Jeff Herring. That's Jeff Herring's thing. He has like t-shirts and hats that say that. Yep. You know, if you would go make a study of Tom and Connie, these folks that came out of nowhere and blew everybody away, just make a study of them. Look at what they did. And just ask yourself, you know, they didn't have experience. They basically just had the guts to go for it. That's all. And you know, you can just make up your mind to be the source. Just make up your mind. You're the source. Pick, maybe just make up, go to the internet. Go to the internet. Go to Google and say, you know, what's your market? Women at computer. Let's go find a woman at the computer. And look at images. Find an image of someone who you want to visualize as being your target market. Maybe it's this person here. This gal, she's overwhelmed. She's trying to figure things out. Maybe this is your picture. She's your picture. She's this overwhelmed, wants to know the information gal. Print this picture out, tape it on your desk, and as you're blogging and podcasting and creating content and being active on social media, imagine you're talking to this hungry, overwhelmed, needs the information woman. And forget about all the awesome marketing Penelopes. Just talk to her. Lynette? Oh my goodness, never mind. I thought Lynette had activated her audio because there was audio playing on this page. I was like, somebody's talking to me. What's going on? Okay. So no more thinking about other people. Visualize your target market as being hungry and actively seeking what you have to share. They need you. They need that person a few steps up the ladder. They need you to solve their problems, to present them with solutions, to share real life examples. They need you to do that. You are their source. So act like it. No excuses. Every time you make an excuse, realize that that excuse keeps you in your comfort zone. Celine, your Black Friday sale has been going well. Yay! Yay! Black Friday a la Cyber Monday. How close did you come to just not doing it? So many times that we just talk ourselves out of doing something. We psych ourselves out. Any last comments, questions? We've got 4 minutes. See, these are the attitudes that give us permission to pull out of our comfort zone. These over here, these are the attitudes that keep us in our comfort zone. And the only way, the absolute only way to make 2013 better than 2012 is to get out of the comfort zone. You've got to operate out what I call in the scared out of my pants zone. That's where you've got to be to grow your business, to reach new people, to have an impact on an ever-widening circle of people. That's what you've got to do. Thanks for being here. Thanks for Monday Morning Breakthrough. We have 2 more weeks of Breakthrough. We're going to meet on December 3rd and December 10th, and then we'll take a break until after the new year. So 2 more Mondays and then a long holiday break where we will not meet. Okay? You guys have a fantastic week. Go be the source. Go be resourceful to your people.